1911. January 12, 1911. A visit from Mrs. E. G. White. Ellen G. White. The teachers and students of the Pacific Union College greatly appreciated a visit from Mrs. E. G. White a few weeks ago. She came on Friday and remained until Sunday, speaking Sabbath afternoon for an hour with old-time clearness and power. She began by reading very impressively from the second chapter of Daniel, the account of the loyalty to principle of Daniel and his three friends. Dwelling upon the 17th verse, she said with voice tremulous with emotion, "Every time I read this verse, I can hardly contain myself to think how the Lord of heaven guards his children if they are true to him." She dwelt upon the lesson of temperance. We should not, in our day of necessity, eat the same substances they did, but our food should be plain and simple. The effect will be placidity of temper and undisturbed condition of mind and heart. Most of our people have decided that the use of meat is not wise. I began speaking when I was 15 years of age and have continued to speak and write until the present time. At first, my health was very poor. Again and again, they thought I was going to die. Physicians said, "You must have a meat diet." But God opened to me the importance of a simple diet and assured me that He would sustain me if I were careful. And for 65 years, His promise has been fulfilled. The speaker read from chapter 2 and said, "All these chapters I desire you to read and see how the Lord wrought." Referring to the trial of the fiery furnace in the third chapter, she said, "I want to tell you, just as certainly serious times are before those who keep the commandments of God. For a long time I have not been able to have a good night's rest because of the scenes that are presented before me. God's people are not doing the work He would have them do for the cities. I have borne this testimony again and again until it seemed as if God's people were not going to do the work. But the cities must be entered. We must not let the people perish that do not know the binding force of God's law. We are responsible. The Lord wants us to awake. We must go forward, or the judgments of God will certainly come upon us." During the past few months, the good work has begun among the great cities of the land. As soon as the cities began to be entered, the pain in my heart was relieved. Speaking directly to the teachers, she encouraged them by saying, "You want means for the buildings. I can see the need of them in the near future. You should labor to the utmost of your ability, but do not sacrifice your health, which God will bestow upon those who will trust in Him. I have learned to trust Him in the past. Once for 11 months I never walked a step, and yet they said to me, 'We always see you smiling.' I could not move at all, except my right arm, but they made a form for my arm, and in this way I wrote 2,500 pages in Australia. I think I ought to acknowledge this here. There are some present who know how my strength began to recover. The first step I took, an attendant burst out crying. They had to carry me to the congregation and carry me home 6 miles. But God works for us if we do our best. I have proved the Lord, and He has been true to me. 2 nights ago, I never slept a wink. I lay awake for hours praying. The world is going to be surprised by the Lord's coming. Your work here will convince others that we are in earnest. Take hold here with all your heart. Let no evil work go from your hands. The world is going mad, stirred up by Lucifer, who is working upon the minds of men. We must hold up our banner. I could never feel free until I stood here and tested whether I had the strength to speak."
The foregoing is only a brief sketch of the speaker's remarks,
but it will serve to show the fervent spirit of the aged servant of God. Her effort was greatly appreciated, and the zeal of students and teachers was stimulated by her noble example. May 18, 1911. Unwise Investments. Ellen G. White. At a time like this, when the spirit of speculation is rife in the world, and some, even of the people of God, are catching the spirit, and are calling upon others to unite with them in investing means in some great scheme or series of schemes that is said to be sure to bring large returns, thereby enriching the individuals and making it possible for them to give large donations to the cause, it seems appropriate to publish in the Recorder the words of caution and advice on this subject spoken by Sister White to the brethren assembled in camp meeting at Los Angeles, California, August 15, 1905. Irwin. A few weeks ago, while I was attending the camp meeting at San Jose, some of our brethren presented before me what they considered wonderful opportunities to invest means in mining and railroad stock that would bring large returns. They seemed confident of success and spoke of the good they would do with the profits they expected to receive. Others were present and seemed interested to see how I would receive their proposition. I told them that such investments were very uncertain. They could not be sure that these enterprises would succeed. I spoke to them of the everlasting reward that is assured to those who lay up their treasures in heaven. But in these uncertain ventures, I begged them, for Christ's sake, to stop right where they were. In the night season, I was instructed to tell God's people that it is not according to His will that those who believe in His near coming should invest their means in mining stock. This would be burying our Lord's talent in the earth. Much was presented, but I will say only a few words at this time. I will read a copy of a letter I wrote to one of the brethren I have mentioned. San Jose, California, July 2, 1905. Dear brother, you have presented before me a proposition to invest in mining stock. You feel confident that such an investment would prove successful, and you think that in this way you will be able greatly to help the cause of God. The Lord has given me instruction that, at meetings I would attend, I would find men encouraging our people to invest their money to work mines. I am bidden to say that this is a device of the enemy to consume or to tie up means that is greatly needed to carry on the work of God. It is a snare of the last days to involve God's people in loss of their Lord's entrusted capital that should be used wisely in the work of winning souls. Because so much money is invested in these very uncertain enterprises, the work of God is sadly crippled for lack of the talent that will win souls to Christ. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Our Lord's entrusted talents are to be invested wisely in giving the warning message both in this country and in other countries. Many of the cities in this country have not yet been warned. What is the reason? Oh, it requires money to carry the message of warning to the cities. It is sometimes necessary to hire at large expense the most popular halls in order that we may call the people out. Then we can give them Bible evidence of the truth. All around us there are souls to save. There is a work to be done by every man or woman who hears the truth to enlighten some other one. To everyone is given some responsibility in the Lord's work. As these responsibilities are assumed, there will be an increase of strength and power to win souls.
A great work is before us. We must watch and work for souls in this time of waiting for our Lord. Cultivate personal piety. Every precaution must be taken to prevent spiritual declension, lest the day of the Lord come upon us as a snare. To be good and to do good should be the study of every human being. There is, my brother, great need that your spiritual eyesight be enlightened. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Keep the channel of your mind clear, that you may understand how to use the Lord's entrusted capital. If there are those who have means that they can possibly spare, it is their duty to use it to advance the cause of God. Last night in vision, I was raising my voice in warning against worldly speculations. I said, I invite you to take shares in the greatest mine that has ever been worked. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? If we will invest in God's mining stock, the return is sure. He says, Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Please read this whole chapter. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. My brother, will you make an investment to secure the heavenly pearl of great price? Then answered Peter, and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. This is mining stock in which you may invest without running a risk of disappointment. But, my dear friend, we have not a dollar of the Lord's money to invest in mining enterprises in this world. I am exceedingly sorry that any of our people have made the mistake of burying their God-given capital in mining stock, thinking thereby to increase their revenue. The prospect may seem flattering, but many will be sadly disappointed. I recall the case of a brother who was once interested in the work and cause of God. Some years ago, when I was in Australia, this brother wrote to me, saying that he had purchased a mine from which he expected to receive great profits. He said that he would give me a portion of what he would receive. I dared not even answer his letter, for fear that it might be said that I was giving the least encouragement to such investments. For some years he continued to follow this business. Occasionally he would write to me, saying, "Now the prospects are good. Soon we shall receive returns." But the returns did not materialize, and after sinking many thousands of dollars, his ventures proved to be an entire loss. This is one of many similar cases that have come to my attention. Many have expressed to me their sorrow that they had ever encouraged anyone to invest their means in mining stock. If there is one here who has received money from a brother or sister for any such investment, it is his duty to return it, if the one who gave it so desires. I warn you to be careful what you do with your Lord's goods. By placing it in God's treasury, you may ensure for yourselves a revenue from the inexhaustible treasures of His kingdom. The people of God have been too easily satisfied with mere surface truths. We should search diligently for the deep, eternal, far-reaching truths of God's Word. Having found them, we shall joyfully sell all, that we may buy the field. Mrs. E. G. White.